money. Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
That is good, because this is a show where we talk about the hard issues of money. If you're just joining us, welcome to the show. If this is your, how many shows have we done?
400? No. You should not mention
it. I should not mention
it. Because I didn't put the show number on.
Okay, fine.
It'll be 400 in November.
It'll be 400 in November. So we're looking forward to that celebration whenever we figure out when that is. How's that? Welcome to the show. We are so glad that you have joined us. Today's show is sponsored by Trinity Family Wealth. And we've had Tim, the lead there on the show, numerous times.
And he's coming next week again.
And he's coming next week today. Yeah. So let me tell you a little bit about what Trinity Family Wealth does. They are a team of experts helping you to manage wealth while preparing your legacy and blessing others for generations. And that is a perspective that Tim and I often have conversations around, is that generational part of our journey around money. So I always love the conversations that we have.
Yeah, so we're grateful to Tim, and you can tune in next week also to hear him. So
cool. So, but today
we have Ray.
We have Ray Bourque from Financial Discipleship Canada. Ray, you're a regular guest here. For those that are new, I don't think we've done this in a while. Tell us a little bit what Financial Discipleship Canada is and notmine.ca.
We'll put him on the spot, see if he knows his own shtick.
Yes. So Financial Discipleship Canada is a ministry that's made up of two parts. Advisors with Purpose, that is a ministry that helps people plan their estate. We have a number of estate specialists who assist people in that. So if you're ever interested in that, please reach out. The other part is notmine.ca. And it is a website that has blogs, has your YouTube clips in there, resources to talk about how your relationship with money can impact your relationship with Jesus. And so we explore that from different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And so it's an opportunity to process that. And so I encourage you to check it out. I write a blog once a month, usually, and you can sign up to receive that in your email. Yeah. And so I encourage you to check out notmine.ca.
Great. Thanks. Yeah.
And we love it because, like, notmine.ca is like the voice, and More Than Enough, which is what we do, is like the implementation of that voice, right? You know, in a sense of working out your relationship with God and with money and how that all works. So,
Great.
We appreciate your partnership because we do work together between the two ministries.
Yeah. Great.
Okay, Reb, you've got a...
I said you guys were running the show today.
Oh, you said... Nah, but there is a verse I was going to say.
Okay, I do the show notes, so yes, I will lead the charge, and then you guys can take over. I know. We're actually tag teaming on Ray's last show from August, because Ray, I had an idea for today's show, and Ray said, I don't think we're done. So...
The continuing conversation.
About creating your own wonder, and is God holding out on us? So we're going to explore that a little bit more, because we want to look at the beliefs that underlie a little more specifically, that may underlie some of those feelings or senses we have toward God in our finances. So I read this verse this week from the New Living Translation, Psalm 69, verse 32 to 33, and it brought me like delight and encouragement, actually. The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all those who seek God's help be encouraged. For the Lord hears the cries of the needy. He does not despise his imprisoned people. I was like, oh man, that is so good. There's all sorts of things in there. But the conversation we are going to have today, we often are not encouraged that God is doing anything in our life. And then we resort to our own means to find help or wonder or make our own plan. But this verse says that when we humble ourselves, we see, well, it doesn't say it exactly, but it says the humble will see God at work. So there's a piece of humility that that is key to understanding and seeing that God is at work. And we can be glad because he is helping those of us who cry to him for help. And we can be encouraged in that. But then when he hears the cries of the needy, he does not despise his imprisoned people. And now Dave often talks about debt being a burden. And Jesus said in Isaiah 61, which we talked about in August, I have come to set the captives free. He claims Isaiah 61 as his verses, and he declared it when he walked on the earth, like, I have come to fulfill this. This is fulfilled among you. I am setting captives free. And I think of those words in light of this psalm. He doesn't despise his imprisoned people. When you're stuck, when I am stuck, hatred or hard feelings toward us. God is a God who is one of love and wants to lead and guide us. Sometimes it involves correction and discipline, but I just love that he doesn't despise me when I'm imprisoned in my own thinking, in my own debt, in my own struggle, because that's how it feels sometimes. And I'm sure listeners are probably identifying with that feeling of, I've got my hands tied. There's nothing I can do. And we talk to a lot of people. We talk to a lot of women at More Than Enough, especially in coaching, who are struggling in their marriages. Maybe their marriages are breaking up and it's not going so well. And they literally feel stuck. Their hands are tied because they can't move forward in their life for whatever reason with their divorce or relationship. And it's not just women, but that's the story we often hear. And I guess I was very encouraged by this verse that he helps us and he actually delights to do that.
Amen. I mean, I'm just like, that's like a declaration we just heard from.
Okay, now I'll let you guys take it away. Anyway, I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, Ray, but I just, that verse just took me by surprise, maybe because the translation, I hadn't read that before, but.
Yeah. Well, I like, you know, that word, imprisoned people. It's an interesting picture that it conveys in that whole sense. I mean, we are imprisoned. We could be imprisoned in debt, but we're often, we talked about too, of being imprisoned in our own beliefs and our own fears. And sometimes we're not even aware of them. And unless we allow them to come to the surface and identify them, because sometimes those fears inhibit us from taking wise actions and decisions and how we even manage our money. So,
yeah, I was just going to say, when I read that verse in the context of the conversation we had last time, where we were going, what are the limiting beliefs? What are the things that, and you know, that's a form of imprisonment. Like, that's kind of where my, we all recognize that when we're in debt, we are enslaved. The borrower's slave to the lender, right? Yes, the borrower's, I had to make sure I said that right. The borrower's slave to the lender. There's an imprisonment there practically. But what we were talking about and where we were wanted to go a little bit more today was that idea of, are the things that we're believing actually locking us up, imprisoning us, so that we go, okay, well, God isn't faithful, so I can't trust him, so I'm just going to go do it myself. And, well, that doesn't always work out, right? And we can see that, and I certainly can just speak for myself. I see that in my own life, the times where I went, yeah, I'm going to make it happen, and I'm not going to tell Reb, and I'm going to keep it hidden, and all of those, especially around money decisions, that's never worked out well. It's just never worked out well, right? So,
you know, it actually reminds me of a picture the Lord gave to me many years ago. It's funny that it came up, but I picture myself in a jail cell because of how I saw some things in my life as, you know, as strongholds, or I wouldn't even identify them, you know, frustrations. And then I felt like the Lord said, lift up your eyes. And then I looked and he said, is not the door open to the jail cell? Oh, and it was like, goodness. That's right. I have stayed within this because I've had only my perspective by my emotions or thoughts or my way of thinking. And I missed that the Lord, as he says here, he opens up the doors for the captives. Mm-hmm. But I have to take the steps to get out of the cell.
Right. And one of the things is actually knowing the thoughts or your belief systems. And we're reflecting back on some of the words we said the last few months that Dave brought up, you know, that we create our own wonder, that God is holding out on us. We feel, so then we feel like even more tied up, because the one we say we believe is actually, we're actually struggling to believe. So not only is the circumstance frustrating, but then we keep saying, oh yeah, we believe and trust in God, but underneath there's a different thing at work and happening. And that can create actually way more tension in us than we will admit to.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have an observation, and this may or may not work. So, you know, bear with me if you're listening and you're like, Dave, you're way off your rocker. It's okay. I can take that. But I have, through scripture, there's a scene where Moses is standing at the edge of the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming. The Red Sea has not been parted yet. And then God says to him, come on, buddy, like put your staff in the ground and let's go. Kind of chastises Moses for, and to me, I've always like, how is he supposed to know how to do that, right? And yet, I think there's something that connects what we're talking about in race specifically. You know, his perspective, Moses's perspective at that point is he's looking at the situation and there is no escape. And yet God's going, no, I brought you here. And it's true. God had brought them there. There was no disputing that God had brought them there. There's no disputing that mm-hmm. God was at work in the emancipation of the Israelites. And yet it's like the door is open, Moses, like just walk out, right? And to your picture of how many times don't we find ourselves in that place of like, I know God's brought me here. Where is the way out, Lord? But we don't ask the question. Mm-hmm. And yet the Lord, I think that little tweak for me has always been, well, how was Moses supposed to know? Well, Moses, maybe he just didn't ask the Lord until that point. Lord, what's the way out here? And then the Lord says, well, here it is. Like, you should have asked me a long time ago, or maybe not. Like,
But you could also be reading the tone into there.
I could be reading the tone 100%. But
interesting, we did talk about the Red Sea the last time. So that's a very interesting that.
And I want to make the connection to Ray's picture of the prison to say, in our finances, sometimes the door is open and our beliefs are, we're walking around in a circle inside our prison when the door is actually open, but we have to do something different, or we have to recognize, as in your picture, Ray, to look up. And in Moses is to jam that staff down so that the walls, the waters part. We have to do something, right? We have to do something different.
And I'm thinking about a Beth Moore teaching I had years ago about how she talked about the Israelites just going around and around and around the mountain. And something has to change so you don't keep going around that mountain again. And I mean, it's a great, it continues that illustration. What is it going to take? We have to identify what we call in our coaching limiting beliefs. We talk about it on Unleashed. I actually wrote a quote from my friend Jennifer Parr. And she said, we all have beliefs that guide what we think and how we behave. Many of these are positive and helpful. They reflect our values and things we'll stand up for. But others are limiting beliefs about ourselves, others, or how the world should work. Mm-hmm. Limiting beliefs usually hold us back. Often they're rooted in things we're told as children and early experiences that we've had. Now, she goes on to say that for every limiting belief, there's an empowering belief, which we would say is the truth. What's the truth for us that would give us freedom in this area? And I was just thinking, Ray, because you were talking to us about this again. What are the beliefs that underlie the idea that God is holding out on us? Like, what would you say are some of those things? What are we experiencing? And then the other that would lead us to create our own wonder.
Well, I think you made a great list here, too, in terms of, I think what really struck me as I read through your notes, sometimes I don't think we've fully grasp the revelation of who God is as our Father. Because I think if we can grasp that in a whole different sense, then we'll understand the fullness of his love in his heart towards us. Because I think sometimes we feel like he's standing there with the club ready to hit us and strike us if we go wrong. And so then in that sense, I wonder how much shame and guilt and condemnation holds us back in that place. Do we really trust him? Is he really going to meet my needs in that process? Is he really a good father in that process? And so I think then I feel like, you know, using that analogy of Moses, I can imagine he got immobilized by fear. And sometimes we do get into those situations where emotion overwhelms us. It looks like a mountain that, where do you take the first bite to start devouring this thing to get around? And so what do we do there in the midst of that? Do we wallow in those emotions or do we make some choices? As I think about it from a social worker perspective, we used to talk about identifying the fear, call it for what it is, analyze it. Is there truth and substance to it? Or is there actually a different perspective and reframe it? Wow. And I think for me, that's kind of what the Lord does for us by saying, Father, you know, I've gone around this mountain with this debt load for so long. What should I be doing different? I'm tired of going around the mountain.
But yeah, I mean, what is that definition of crazy? You always said doing the same thing.
The same way and expecting different results.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, the part of this, and if we pull it back to the money thing, you know, even from a perspective of what is truth, right? So the world around us, you know, the proverb, well, we'll get to the truth in a minute, but the world around us says, hey, you know, you can make fast money, like, you know, and I'll just use that as an example. And we know the proverb says, hey, fast money comes and fast money goes, but the diligent work over time and see their wealth, you know, happen. And then, you know, we can go, okay, so what am I going to believe? Am I going to believe the words that are around in the world that says, hey, you know, buy that lottery ticket, you're going to win the $50 million and that's going to solve all your problems. That's the message that winning the lottery has, right? All my problems will be solved. But then when we see, look at the truth, we see that it doesn't solve people's problems. Winning the lottery doesn't. And we've got lots of stats and I won't go into that, but we see the results of that. And we see the truth of that in scripture by way of an example, as we're talking about today, just, you know, what are we believing? What are the, as Jennifer was just saying, you know, the, a little bit, the definition of that unbelief or that truth, you know, which voice, I guess I'm going to try to say, which voice are we going to listen to your point, Ray? That means slowing down enough to ask yourself the question, like, what am I afraid of?
Well, and I can say on our journey with More Than Enough, when we started out all those years ago and we didn't have income and Dave became a financial coach, I thought, what are we doing? Is he really trustworthy? Is this actually going to turn?
Am I really trustworthy?
No, is God really trustworthy? We think he's telling us to do this. This already sounds crazy to most people. It is kind of a mechanic who becomes a financial coach and then a mortgage agent. Like you tell the story and you think, whoa, that's a little out there. Just a little bit. Not too much. I mean, entrepreneurs do all kinds of crazy things all the time. But I'm like, is this actually going to turn out, God? Like, can I trust you? Can I trust you? And you just decide to do it. You decide to trust. You decide to jump. You decide to hold up the staff over the Red Sea and see what happens. And sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes there's no miracle of the Red Sea parting. And I mentioned that before the show. I think one of the great paradoxes, or I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, you see answers to prayer in the everyday, and Ray, you have one or two of those, right? You know, God is like, oh, something shows up and it's like, whoa, that was amazing. But you know, so you get someone delivering you $100 for to buy groceries, but you need a job. And you're like, God, $100 is great, but could you just, you know, open a door for a job? And there's something happening in my experience, and I don't know if I'm going to articulate it well. Over time, I look back at the journey of what's happened at More Than Enough, where he started and where we are now, and what God's done, and the stories we've heard, and the freedom people have received from him through what we do. I'm like, wow, that's really amazing. But when we're in it and we're doing the thing that we think to do, that's the right thing to do, doing the next right thing, as whatever Frozen musical would say, do the next right thing, you know, you just do it out of obedience, trusting that the outcome in the end is going to work out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does, but God is doing this big tapestry creation, mm-hmm. that when you look back, you're like, oh, I was really stressed in that moment. And that was one moment over a couple of years of many stressful moments, but look what he's done. And I sometimes think, man, we have to step back and take a look, like, what have you been doing? What are you working here? Can I trust you that the humble will see that God is at work and be glad? You know, can I, in the moments of stress, can I still have that perspective?
Yes.
I mean, that's a paradox, right? So, like,
and I was just thinking, you know, and then in that mix, though, are our decisions, right? Like, if I go back to the story of the Israelites, right? So they travel, they go through the Red Sea, God supplies in those, what we'll call little ways, manna, you know, from the rock, you know, water from the rock. They get to the edge of the promised land, and then they decide not to enter. Like, they, again, what's their belief? We're talking about limiting beliefs.
They get fear. They're afraid. Belief that way you said, Ray.
Right, that God won't do it, right? Their limiting belief is like, the giants are too big. We are ants in their sight, you know? And God is saying, listen, I brought you here and I want you to take the land. That is clearly the word of the Lord to them. And they're going, no, we're not doing it. And our decisions actually matter. You know, again, I'm going to go back to your picture, Ray. You do have to get out and walk out of mm-hmm. the open door. Your decision matters, and you stay in the prison as long as you decide to do that. Our decisions and our money decisions matter. And so, you know, we often say it More Than Enough, make every spending decision a spiritual one. What does that mean? It means that if I'm in debt and I have the choice, do I put this $50 that just got supplied by the Lord through whatever means, my job, a gift, whatever, or do I spend it on something else?
There's, okay, here's matter. Where it gets real then with money.
Mm.
Yeah. Or do I want that thing, or I think I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm just going to go put it all on credit instead of waiting and seeing how God wants to do it. What's you have been saying lately, if it's his will, he's going to show you the way. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, Ray.
Well, I mean, in that practical sense, yes. Because I think with every dilemma we have, God has the means of provision. Mm-hmm. But we don't stop to ask him to do that.
Sure.
And we tend to
think... Okay, say that again. With every decision, God has the means
of... For every challenge financially, God has a way of provision. When he asked you to take the next step, you did more than enough... There was going to be provision, but you had to take the first steps to see that and then watch. And you look back now in hindsight and say, okay, God, I saw the faithfulness. It wasn't always easy.
No.
But you saw that. So then you have a sense that God wasn't holding out. He was teaching and working something far deeper into your heart and spirit.
Right.
That he wants to do in all of our lives.
Right.
And so those teaching moments is like, okay, God, you know, stepping out, you know, Arlene and I look at that, you know, when I had the 14-month away kind of alone with the Lord. It was like, okay, God, we hadn't planned for that one. And God's provision, supernatural provision, was there. We had to do our pieces to cut back, but he still provided.
Right. So you took those 14 months off because he was leading you to take time away with yes. him. But you also didn't just keep the regular things you would do if you had the income. You didn't spend the same
way back. Yes. In order to do that, because that was part. And you know what? Actually, that set the stage for the next season of working in the area with Financial Discipleship mm-hmm. Canada and CNCF.
Which we can see looking back. Oh man,
that's right.
I remember walking with you through those years yes. and like, what is going on?
Oh God, what are you doing here?
Yes. And those questions are real.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean you don't trust, but there's another level perhaps of trust or another level of that belief that he wants to expose and show us.
And it goes back to the verses that we talked about, that his ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And so this is like, do I trust God's way? Do I trust his higher way? Because again, I mean, I just keep going back to the Israelites. That didn't make any sense where he was leading them. There was another way that if I got a map and I drew a map to get from Egypt to Canaan, they would have taken a different way. That made more sense. But God's way doesn't always make sense. He is up to something else in our lives, just like he was up to something else in the nation of Israel, their lives during that season, right? And so, you know, I do think sometimes I drive myself crazy trying to figure it out, right? And then, you know, and it's like, you can't figure it out because you're in it and you're on this side of it, right? You can't figure it out because it is God's way at work. And
so you mentioned of some verses that we actually haven't spoken of today, but I'm just going to say.
Well, we all know those verses.
Isaiah 55, often we say, for your thoughts aren't your thoughts, my ways not your ways, all of that. But I have a strong belief that in the verses before it, he says, forsake the way you think. Let the wicked forsake the ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he freely pardons. So we can turn, because in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for those who love him. It is not just about heaven, because then he says, but the Spirit reveals these things to us so that we would understand what has been freely given to us by God. Like, so we can walk in relationship. We can expose what you had said before, Ray, the fear. Call it for what it is. Let maybe remind us, what did you say about those things? To leave this as a practical thing.
Right. I talked about actually, first of all, you need to discover what your belief system is. You need to voice them. You need to analyze them. Assess, is there any truth and validity to them, or otherwise begin to reframe them in a whole different perspective? And that's what God wants to do. He wants to give us his perspective. But I think we have to deal first with the stuff, the thoughts going through our own brain.
Yes. And he will do that with us. And then we have the promises of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 16. Go read it, because it's about his Spirit directing and showing us the way.
Well, let's pray. Lord, again, love that your word is true. Mm-hmm. Love that we can sit here and go, okay, we don't understand, we know, but we can humbly come before you and see where you are at work and identify you. And we thank you for that in Christ's name today. Amen. Wow, that conversation, again, it's like, there's probably going to be another one.
I know, Ray's going to call and say, I don't think we're done with that conversation yet.
Okay. Shout out to Trinity Family Wealth. Check them out on the website and join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.